My administration will stop mob violence and will stop it cold. It does not serve the interest of justice or any citizen of any race, color, or creed for the government to give into anarchy.
Far-left extremist groups using Antifa-like tactics, many of whom travel from outside the state to promote the violence.
Boy, I tell you, there's, there's just one story in the country right now. Yes, still coronavirus, obviously. Yes, the SpaceX launch, but what happened in Minneapolis and the response to it has now become a global phenomenon. Joining us now by phone, Congressman Matt Gaetz, District 1, Northwest Florida. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thanks so much, Andrew. And, you know, certainly the death of Mr. Floyd, you know, it just appeared so preventable. And I understand why it is heartbreaking and why it is reflective of a pattern that we must stop. But a great country does not allow a permanent criminal element to burn it down. And, you know, when I see the Lincoln Memorial defaced, when I see, you know, attacks on our churches, on our small businesses, as a consequence of this anger, it's deeply frustrating. And when someone goes in and smashes, you know, a Target and walks out with a television, that is not political speech. That is not a protest. That is rioting and looting. And I believe that we've got to get a lot tougher to ensure that the people in our country who just want to live by the rules and have some sense of peace and tranquility are able to do so.
What do you think needs to be done? I mean, what there is obviously a recurrent theme here in that we have these. In this case, I think clearly nobody can argue that this was not police brutality. But, you know, there have been other cases that are a little bit less obvious but still generate a reaction and a protest and a demand for change. What is the change in your mind that can be done, that needs to be done, that hasn't yet happened?
In Florida, we have been successful with an aggressive deployment of body cameras and also extensive training. I mean, you know, there are always errors that people make in their jobs, right? Nobody's perfect. I mean, you know, in a show you do, in a legislative endeavor I have, you always make mistakes along the way. But in law enforcement, sometimes those mistakes are life and death. And we cannot continue to see a pattern where black men are not resisting or doing what they can to, you know, comply and then are vanquished from this earth. That is not something we can tolerate. But the response that I've seen to it is just like such an overgeneralized indictment of our country. So again, I think body cameras, I think extensive training will be important. I think that how we, you know, continue to manage the mental health of our police officers, you know, we're getting a lot smarter about how to do that to ensure that there's adequate rest and respite, and then that there's able to be sort of a treatment plan for those who in their performance of law enforcement duties are not up to the standard. And that's not ever to excuse any criminal or unlawful behavior like we've seen in the Floyd case. But I think the reason that you see such broad outrage over this is that there are a lot of African Americans in this country who feel as though this is indicative of experiences they've had, maybe at lower acuity, maybe that weren't caught on camera.
Yeah.
And so I think that sense of outrage is what is really animating some of this activity. But at the same time, it cannot be allowed to destroy our country. And, you know, when I see people hurt property and then some of the celebrities and all that say, oh, well, it's just property, you know, the protests kind of must go on, I just think about how many people devote their lives to their business or their home, and then to see it go up in such senseless violence is unfair.
Yeah, I mean, and in taking it out as if it's viewed that way, taking it out on the business doesn't solve anything related to the original source of the complaint, and it turns it into an unjustified, as you say, criminal behavior. Do you think, because we hear about the outside agitators quite a bit, and that seems clear, that there are outside agitators trying to poison or pervert or turn to their purposes, But Susan Rice then on CNN spiffballs that she wouldn't be surprised at all that Russia is not behind this. And I think, of course, of China. I had had that thought. Is there any evidence to that? What's your take on the possibility of even foreign influence involved in the escalation towards violence of these protests?
All over the world, there are forces that try to capitalize on unrest in the United States, and they try to fan the flames. And it wouldn't surprise me, though I've seen no evidence, if there were external influences that were counterproductive to our effort to bring our country together right now. I don't think that is, you know, a majority of what's really going on here, Andrew. I mean, just like I'd never found a whole lot of people that said I voted for Donald Trump because Putin told me to, you know, I don't see a lot of people out in the streets saying, well, I'm out here organizing because of Russia. I do think that in the organizing of some of the illegal activity, that social media platforms may have some responsibility. I mean, you know, so wait, Twitter's going to go out there and fact check the president, shadow ban me, but then they're still going to allow Antifa to post where to have meetups to go and smash cars, you know? And so I think that, it begs the question about what we can do in our country to be more resilient to any potential outside influences so that we're able to bring our people together.
You know, the president obviously announced his strategy, the executive orders related to, or executive order related to social media. You're also working on legislation here, right?
I am. I'm working with Senator Josh Hawley and other Republicans on the Judiciary Committee so that Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act does not allow the bias treatment of content on social media platforms. When I've seen, you know, the lack of transparency regarding how content is elevated or suppressed, when we've seen some of the Project Veritas content about you know, executives and, or not executives, engineers at some of these social media companies saying, yeah, we go unfollow people from MAGA accounts, or we push down, you know, content or tweets because we don't like the speaker, then that concerns me about the nature of the national discussion we're having in America. So I'm working on some legislation on that. But actually, I think that you're going to see more from the administration, more from the Federal Communications Commission, and maybe even the Federal Elections Commission.
Are they utilities? Are social media companies utilities? I mean, is that the direction we're headed?
Well, they have to choose, right? Like, so if they want the protections of a public forum, they're going to have to prove that they are, in fact, a public forum. If they want to say, well, we're a private company and we should be able to do whatever we want as a private company, then that's fine, too. But then they shouldn't be able to get special protections from the government that, you know, your radio station doesn't enjoy, that local newspapers don't enjoy, that even Fox News or CNN don't enjoy. So I think that right now they're getting the best of both worlds, asserting that they have this public value feature that allows them to cloak some of their practices, and it's got to go one way or the other.
Congressman, you were at the SpaceX launch with the president and Mike Pence over the weekend. Man, that was something. That's all I'm saying. It was amazing.
It really is amazing to see the potential of American innovation and the way that American capitalism can help meet the needs of our country. You know, we used to give Russia $4 billion as a part of their program to bring us to the International Space Station and then manage low Earth orbit. And what that did is it built up Russia's space program, and some of the rocket work and other technical ability doesn't always just day to the most peaceful and kind of uses. And so when we're able to, instead of building up Russia's space economy, build up our private sector economy, see companies like SpaceX or Blue Origin or any other number of commercial enterprises really pierce the veil of space, it really, I think, unlocks a tremendous amount of potential for NASA to then dream even bigger about the moon and Mars, and ultimately making human beings a multi-planetary species.
Yeah, and I love the idea that this is done with private companies. I mean, it is so much more in line with the conservative principles of government and industry and creativity and competition. It's a wonderful thing to see. I wanted to also ask you, the president on Friday gave a fairly brief address where he talked about Chinese misbehavior, the ongoing effort to push back against them or punch back against them, and now we've got the issues with Hong Kong. I just... my reaction to that was it seemed like he was punishing Hong Kong for what China is doing. Explain this to me, or maybe if that's maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but that's what it felt like to me.
Well, I've seen throughout the administration support for the people of Hong Kong, and you know, some of the stuff you see and some of the stuff you don't when it comes to the pressure that we are trying to put on China to behave more like a regular country. I think that for many decades, we've tried to convince ourselves that China can be just like us if we draw them in and draw them close. And when we see how they treat the people in Hong Kong, when we see how they treat the Uyghurs and other religious minorities, it's very clear that bringing China closer hasn't made them more like us. If anything, you know, it's made us more vulnerable. And I believe that when it comes to Hong Kong, China's got a real problem, and we ought to stand with the people of Hong Kong. And this is a big deal for China. If they don't get this right, I don't think that it's going to be limited to Hong Kong. I think that in Macau you're going to see problems. In other parts of mainland China, you're going to see problems. And you know, the CCP is not in its strongest position right now after coronavirus. And so it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Congressman, you have an art contest going on right now. In fact, I think it's today, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I would encourage folks to go to gates.house.gov. And if you're interested in seeing some of the art that our students have put together, it is really unreal. And you can click on a link to see the live art show. Usually we do that in person, and we have a great deal of fun and invite the community and really celebrate the students with a ceremony. Unfortunately, due to coronavirus, we're having a digital show, but trying to make it special for the students nonetheless. And I just am always amazed at the talent that we have in Northwest Florida when it comes to, you know, expressing the art. And we've got so much inspiration around us. It's the most beautiful place in the world, so why wouldn't we be just a fountainhead of creativity?
Absolutely. Congressman Matt Gaetz, our congressman in Northwest Florida District 1. Matt, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Stay safe.
You too.